Welcome to the big show.
He could go all the way
to the North Valley's own Gary O'Lennon.
When you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Is there a heaven? Oh, yeah. It's the place dreams come true.
On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
All right, welcome to the show, everybody. Last Wednesday, and the last previous few Wednesdays, we've been talking with Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place about when you need to see a counselor. And it was very informative. We have finished that topic. And but we do have Gidi on every Wednesday to talk about various issues. And good morning, Gidi.
Good morning.
I'm glad you're here again.
And it's always good to be here.
I love Wednesdays. I learned so much on this. Gidi Hansen is a marriage and family therapist registered intern working to get her license over at The Growing Place. They're located on East Avenue. We'll be giving her phone number out if you have some issues that you'd like to discuss involving your family or addictions that you might have or friends that you might have or family members. It's a wonderful place, The Growing Place. And they usually come with a Christian attitude in terms of counseling. And we're talking today and focusing on a topic, self-esteem.
Yes, self-esteem that has so often been misunderstood in today's culture.
Misunderstood how?
Well, people think that, you know, this is what self-esteem is not. Mm-hmm. It's not egotism. It's not conceit. It's not self-promotion. Mm-hmm. It's not narcissism. It's not superiority or entitlement or arrogance. It's not the lack of empathy for other people. That's mm-hmm. When we say self-esteem, that's not what we mean mm-hmm. at all.
Now, those attributes that you discussed sounds more, I'm not an expert, more narcissistic.
It's narcissism or even antisocial. Mm-hmm. Antisocial personality disorder.
How can you tell if somebody's suffering from low self-esteem? How do you tell?
Oh, that, you know, the symptoms of people with low self-esteem can be depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, mm-hmm. defensiveness, the need to please people, the need to prove yourself, having a critical attitude towards self and others, being negative, being pessimistic, feeling like a failure, having social anxiety, feeling alienated, underachieving, being unmotivated, despairing, and even hostility and violence.
In some ways, those are almost contradictory, it sounds, in some ways, where you're talking about, well, I'm insecure, I don't feel positive about things, I'm depressed. In some ways, it sounds almost, Gidi, that when we say that it works in contrary to somebody who would have high self-esteem. So is the person who is bragging and saying great things about themselves is really kind of what camouflaging what their real feelings
exactly,
are?
Exactly, exactly. Uh-huh. And different people show traits of low self-esteem in different way. Some lash out in anger at the slightest provocation of being accused of being, of having anything wrong with them. Others feel like a failure, and they feel that they're wrong all the time, and so they're depressed.
Well, you see, now, this is interesting, because it almost sounds like, Gidi, there's two types of self-esteem. Those who really do lack self-esteem in terms of, I don't feel good about myself. I mean, they're not lashing out, they're not criticizing other people, but they just don't feel like they are, you know, they don't say they're worthless, but they don't feel like they're really a benefit to society or to their family. They say, I just don't feel good about myself. That's almost like you feel sorry for them person who has self-esteem, whereas suppose you're talking about somebody who would be an unlikable person who has self-esteem. Did you understand? I don't know if that's making sense or not.
Well, let me just put it this way. If self-esteem were a wound, if the lack of self-esteem were a wound, the Band-Aid you put on top of it, which is the symptom, varies from A to Z. Some people who don't have healthy self-esteem become very low and depressed. Some become anxious. Some become volatile. Some become angry. Some become critical. Some become permissive. That's the name of the Band-Aid. But when you take the Band-Aid off, you see the problem is the lack of healthy self-esteem.
Okay.
So if I feel a deficit, if I feel that I am worthless, that may just be unbearable for me. So I walk around trying to prove to everybody just how much worth I have and how valuable I have. Whereas if I really felt like I have worth, then I wouldn't need to prove it to anybody.
I guess here's what I'm saying. I guess there's maybe a self-esteem, a lack of self-esteem for somebody that you're sympathetic for. You know, this person is really down on the dumps, doesn't feel like he or she is really much of a person. And you're like, I really feel bad for that person. Then there's a lack of self-esteem, which you're talking about, which is, I don't feel sorry for this guy at all. He's acting like a real horse's patoot, and he's being mean or she's being mean and ornery. And that person's suffering self-esteem too. But that's kind of, to me, kind of a non-sympathetic lack of self-esteem.
Yes, it, the response you get from other people for your symptoms for the lack of self-esteem can vary.
Uh-huh.
So, as you say, you can be able to live with one type of person with lack of self-esteem, but be very hard to live with the argumentative, critical, hostile, angry, and even violent type of lack of self-esteem.
How does somebody diagnose this? How do you diagnose? I mean, this must be a very difficult. I think all counseling would be difficult to diagnose. They're all tough in my book.
You know, I would say that because of, you know, as a Christian counselor, because of the fall and because of how broken and flawed we are by sin, all of us suffer from a lack of self-esteem until God gets in there and does some healing.
You know, it's a good point. This is a Holy Week. Tomorrow is Maundy Thursday. And sometimes we look at how Jesus was battered and beaten, and we're going to take a break right now. But, you know, you wonder somehow, despite he was being ridiculed and mocked and laughed at, I don't think Jesus, as a true man, ever lost his self-esteem.
Never.
This past week, everything he went through. And, sometimes we look, we'll take a break, but I do want to touch on that a little bit, on what we learn through by ourselves and in Jesus's passion. We're going to take a break, continue our discussion with Dede Hansen of The Growing Place right after this on self-esteem.
This is Live Local Talk.
All right, welcome back to the show. I'm speaking with Dede Hansen, which we do every Wednesday of The Growing Place. She's a Christian counselor. But for those who might be listening who do not have a faith, that does not mean that she or The Growing Place's counselors will not be there to help you. The number, by the way, at The Growing Place is 588-0448, 588-0448. We're talking about self-esteem. And sticking with the theme, since this is Holy Week, we talk about what I have always thought, Gidi, that there's the whole week shows us the way we're supposed to, that Christ is like us, and we identify with Christ more than any other way. Is there ways in which you look at what Jesus was going through? He went from the biggest high on Palm Sunday, where he was the rock star, right, to the biggest low you can possibly have in the span of 5 days. And in fact, shorter than that. I mean, they'd gathered him on Friday night, and
Jerry, I have so much to say on this topic. I have so much to say on this topic. So, first of all, Jesus knew what was coming up.
He did.
So he was never on the rock star high because he knew what was in man. He was telling his apostles, they're going to, you know, the Son of Man will be, you know, beaten and mistreated and crucified, and the third day he'll rise again. And they didn't get it. So Jesus knew what he was going into. But let me tell you a personal story.
Well, I do want to say this on my defense. I think that people will look at this, could learn from the lesson and say, Jesus was at, from our standards, he was at the peak.
Yes,
and
you're right.
We can see that how easy it is to go from such a high to such a low in such a short period of time.
Yes.
I guess that's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, that's true. Looking at it in a certain
humanistic
terms. But internally, one time I was praying in front of the crucifix and just contemplating all that our Lord endured. And, you know, we put that little loincloth on him, but he didn't have anything. He was totally naked and exposed in public. And I started feeling sorry for him. And I felt that, you know, by the Holy Spirit, he impressed on me, don't feel sorry for Jesus. And I'm like, what? And he's like, you're feeling sorry because he was naked? He had no sin. He was not ashamed to be naked like you. And I'm like, oh. And also, he had, it says in Hebrews chapter 12, that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and he despised the shame. I'm like, oh. And it was like God was kind of shifting. Jesus knew who he was and is. That's healthy self-esteem. That's one of the definitions, is a realistic knowledge of oneself. Not inflated and not deflated. The narcissistic types have inflated. The depressed and anxious types have deflated. But Jesus is perfect God and perfect man. Had an absolutely realistic sense of who he is and of his mission. Now, he had human emotions. He was a man of grief, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was hurt. He felt pain. But he knew what he was about.
There's also, again, we talk about Jesus in the humanistic terms, and we talk about self-esteem. He was at a moment where Lazarus, where Jesus wept. That's the shortest,
exactly.
You know, so he wept.
Yes.
A couple days later, he's in the temple and he's pretty darn angry.
Yes.
And so I don't know if it's intentional, but was Jesus trying to say, you know what, I'm still a man. I'm still, I know what I'm doing. I'm a heady guy. Believe me, I know I'm a, but you know what? There's nothing wrong with a man crying. There's nothing wrong with a man getting angry if it's used properly and channeled properly.
Exactly. Well, and you know, God himself, before the incarnation, before Jesus became a man, it says in Genesis chapter 6 that he was grieved, he was sorrowful, that he had ever created humankind, and therefore he sent the flood. Mm-hmm. It also talks about God's anger and wrath in the Old Testament. So we have these emotional traits because we are made in the image and likeness of God. But the difference is our expression of them is fractured, is broken by sin. God's expression of emotion is pure, and it's even holy.
You know, because we talk about the Beatitudes, and we talk about the meek shall inherit the earth. I don't think, and I was listening to a preacher the other day who was talking about the Beatitudes, and I don't think the meek means what we think it means. According to this preacher, the meek was not somebody who's just like quiet, like a little church mouse.
Like a doormat.
Like a doormat. Yeah, yeah. I don't think we're talking about doormats. Maybe you could elaborate on that because it involves self-esteem in some ways.
You've hit the nail right on the head, Jerry. A person who has healthy self-esteem can comfortably be humble, can comfortably be accused as our Lord was over and over again during his trial and his crucifixion, of being something terrible and despicable, even though he was not. Somebody with healthy self-esteem knows how to be quiet and humble and meek because they know who they are, they know who God is, they know where they're going, and they can afford to be peaceful and calm in the midst of it. They don't have to fight and push. Now, there is a time when God tells us, I want you to fight for this. He told the Israelites, I want you to fight for the promised land. So there are times when we do need to fight. There are times when we need to just let go and let God. And that can be one way of looking at being meek.
It seems like, and we're going to wrap up our discussion with Gidi Hansen at The Growing Place, it seems like that when it comes to self-esteem, there's a certain amount of maturity involved in just knowing when to pick your spots and making the right decisions. We're going to wrap our discussion up with Gidi at The Growing Place. Her phone number, if you like to look for a counseling session for whatever issues you may be dealing with, is 588-0448. We'll be right back. Wrap things up after this.
Welcome to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon.
Ask yourself, what kind of example are you setting for others?
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
I've got to know Gidi Hansen pretty well, and if I needed a counselor, I would not go to her because I think I know her too well, and she probably knows me too well. But But if I were to recommend somebody to go to a counselor, I think if you listen to the show, you know that she's very easy to speak with, and it's very comforting talking to her. Her phone number is 588-0448. We're talking about self-esteem or a lack of self-esteem and the issues it causes. And it seems like, in some ways, Gidi, this is the root of good, sound human characteristics. You know, if you have a good self-esteem at a young age and it carries on the rest of your life, you're going to be a pretty even leveled man or woman.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. It is an essential part of our being. And there have been studies done on self-esteem, psychological studies, that have connected low self-esteem with bullying on both parts. Both the bully and the one being bullied very often have low self-esteem, with cheating, with stealing, with teenage pregnancy, with dropping out of school, with alcoholism, with drug abuse, with eating disorders, with low academic achievement, and with going to prison. Low self-esteem has been associated with all of these behaviors.
Is it the root? Is this the root of where problems occur?
I think it's one of the main roots. I think there are other ones, but it's one of the main ones. And I think that when the Lord, you know, in creating us, the fact people look at themselves and they go, well, why should I value myself? Because esteem means to value, to hold something having worth. And someone may say, well, why should I value myself? I'm just a piece of junk. Well, when we look to the Lord, we see that we are made in his image and likeness. That gives me value. Jesus came into the world to die for my sins. That gives me value. Jesus has made me part of his body and part of the kingdom of God. That gives me value. That gives me purpose and meaning and mission. And for me as a Christian to say I have no value is to deny who God is and what God has done for me.
I think when we think of self-esteem, a lot of us as a parent, you think about your kids, because self-esteem, is it or is it not developed at a young, very young age? Is this where it gets started?
It should be. It should be, but very often it is not.
What happens to get people off track, to get young people off track?
People are continually, young people, children, are given the message that they are worthless, that they have to perform to earn their value. And you see, healthy self-esteem is not based on my performance. It's based on who I am. I am a child of God. I have worth in the eyes of the Lord. He thought that it was worth it for his son to die for me. That gives me value. Now, if somebody is not a Christian, has a different value system, the way that I would approach it is the fact that you are a human being gives you value. The fact that you exist gives you value.
How do you begin diagnosing somebody who has difficult self-esteem?
It's so easy to see. I think we all have it in one level or another. I mean, it's the common human predicament.
Okay.
If someone comes in and really brags and you know, all the wonderful things they've done, you know, my question would be, so what are you doing here? And how can I help you? If someone comes in and talks about how awful they are or how terrible they feel, then I also know this person has a self-esteem
That's
problem.
What I would call the sympathetic person's self-esteem, as opposed to the non-sympathetic lack of self-esteem.
Yes.
I don't know if I just came up with that. So then how do you begin treating it? Where do you go?
Well, we start with what the client says his or her goals are. So we don't impose our values or our where we think the person should start. We look at a client's capacity. That means their ability to sustain therapy and to perform an intervention without falling away or without having worse symptoms. So we will see the problem, but we don't usually just kind of attack it. Like, this is the problem and this is what we have to do, because that can blow people right out of the water.
It has to come, it sounds like it has to come from within. The outside forces, people say, you're a great guy. Does that make a difference?
It comes in the therapeutic relationship. And hopefully this person is now in relationship with a therapist who values them. And through the therapist's actions and words and tone and concern and high regard, the client is feeling what it feels like to be valued. And that's at a base level where we begin. Then we build cognitively. We work with the thoughts that say I have no value. We work with the feelings that say I have no value. We work with the self-destructive actions that say I have no value.
Are there people who have a good, sound self-esteem, but just don't do a very good job of showing it? Maybe it's not a lack of self-esteem. Somebody has self-esteem, but maybe lacks some self-control.
Definitely.
In terms of talking. Because sometimes, just because somebody's a braggart and somebody likes to boast, that might just be, you know, poor communication skills.
Well, I don't know about that, but I know we all have things we need to learn.
Uh-huh.
And having healthy self-esteem will not make me a perfect person,
right,
or a complete person. I still have many things I need to learn.
I think from talking to you over the months that I've gotten to know you, it sounds like this issue that people have problem is like almost every other thing that we've talked about, whether it's anger management or whether it's marital relationships. There are degrees of how bad it is, and everybody's on the scale. There's nobody that has the perfect life.
You're totally right.
And so where do you draw the line? And as we just finished up on our series, when do you need to see a therapist or a counselor?
Yes. Yes, that's very good. And the thing is, people who have a high self-esteem can hear criticism, even if it's delivered in the worst way.
Uh-huh.
They can hear it because they know that they're okay.
Yeah.
And when they hear criticism, they go, oh, wow, that's an area that I could improve.
Is this an area we should keep talking about in the weeks ahead?
I think so. I think we need to talk about ways to build healthy self-esteem.
Okay, we are done with today's show. Gidi Hansen at The Growing Place. I tell you what, I love having her on the show. And if you ever have some issues that you want to talk to Gidi about, or other counselors over at the Growing Place, they're located on East Avenue. Their phone number is 588-0448, 588-0448. Thanks so much, everybody. Back tomorrow. So long.